It's Inauguration Eve in the US. President-elect Joe Biden is set to take over from President Trump on the 20th of January. Of course, it's the 20th of January here in New Zealand, but it won't be until this time tomorrow that it's all happening, or tomorrow morning at least. And there is tension in the capital. Of course, Trump supporters stormed government buildings on the day the election results were being certified by lawmakers. Partially as a result of that, Washington, D.C. is looking very different for this presidential inauguration. There are fears of more violence as Joe Biden's administration takes over. I'm joined by Feature Story Chief Correspondent Simon Marks. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Jesse.
How are things looking at this point in time?
Well, I was just doing the maths. I think this is going to be my eighth inauguration here, and it's completely different than any that we have previously witnessed. As you know, Joe Biden will be taking the oath of office in a few hours' time behind a literal physical ring of steel that surrounds the U.S. Congressional complex on Capitol Hill, following the violent insurrection that was fomented by President Trump on January the 6th that led to that crowd of baying, conspiracy theory-believing supporters of President Trump, many of them armed, smashing their way into the Capitol building, taking to the floor of the House of Representatives, ransacking the offices of people like the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. So the physical degree of protection that we're witnessing on Capitol Hill is unprecedented, but the Green Zone, and they're literally calling it the Green Zone, extends right into the heart of the business district here in Washington, D.C., with more than 20,000 National Guard troops deployed. To put that into perspective, that is four times the number of U.S. troops currently deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. And we heard today that 12 members of the National Guard are being relieved of their duties create a protective zone for the inauguration, because the Pentagon, after going through yet more security vetting of these 20,000 troops, came to the conclusion that perhaps 12 of them, rather than planning to protect the inauguration, might pose a bit of a threat to it after they discovered what they describe as inappropriate communications by some of these members of the National Guard, and at least two of them were revealed to be direct supporters of pro-Trump right-wing militias. I think the big question here is not whether they can keep the inauguration secure, because at this point you can barely move in Washington, D.C. without encountering a police checkpoint. It's how long, in concrete terms, are we going to be living with the concrete blast barriers and the fences and this kind of security presence to protect the city against another attack by Donald Trump's armed supporters who have bought his lies and simply are not willing to believe that Joe Biden is on the brink of becoming the legitimate president of the United States. Joe Biden comes to office with a massive crisis of legitimacy that has been deliberately sown and created by the man that he's replacing in the Oval Office.
Speaking of whom, Donald Trump gave a farewell speech. I think it was this morning, New Zealand time. What did you make of what he said?
He did indeed. I've actually just, again, done the maths. There are only 482 metres currently separating Donald Trump from Joe Biden. Joe Biden, the president-elect, is spending the night in Blair House, a government guest house that is directly across the street from the White House. Donald Trump could, at any point if he wanted to, walk across the street and go and congratulate Joe Biden personally. There's no indication he's going to do that. As you know, he'll be skipping town tomorrow morning before the inauguration, taking one last flight on Air Force One to his Mar-a-Lago golf resort. When the Bidens return to the White House from the inauguration, it will be left to the chief usher of the building to welcome them into their new home. And tonight, Donald Trump did indeed release his farewell address to the nation.
The world respects us again. Please don't lose that respect.
That was one of a number of dubious claims that he made, and some entirely false claims that he made about the successes that his administration, he says, notched up. And he indicated very clearly at the end of this speech that he does not believe that the movement that he leads is in any way coming to an end.
As president, my top priority, my constant concern, has always been the best interests of American workers and American families. I did not seek the easiest course. By far, it was actually the most difficult. I did not seek the path that would get the least criticism. I took on the tough battles, the hardest fights, the most difficult choices, because that's what you elected me to do. Above all, I fought for America and all it stands for, and that is safe, strong, proud, and free. Now, as I prepare to hand power over to a new administration at noon on Wednesday, I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it.
He did say for the first time in that address that he is praying for the success of the next administration. But in a speech that lasted, I think, just under 19 minutes, he didn't once use the president-elect's name, made no reference whatsoever to Joe Biden. And these two men have been an absolute study in contrasts over the last few hours. When Joe Biden left Delaware earlier in the day, he made a very emotional speech to supporters there. At one point, tears streaming down his face as he remembered his late son, Beau Biden, who died of brain cancer and was the former attorney general in Delaware. And then he came here to Washington, D.C., and in his first act, again, study in contrasts, headed to the Lincoln Memorial, where 400 lanterns now illuminate the reflecting pool that sits right beneath the Lincoln Memorial to commemorate the now 400,000 people who have died of COVID-19, a threshold that we passed today. And you can hear Joe Biden beginning the process as he spoke to those present for the ceremony of preparing to lead for the first time a national response to the pandemic here.
To heal, we must remember. It's hard sometimes to remember, but that's how we heal. It's important to do that as a nation. That's why we're here today. Between sundown and dusk, let us shine the lights in the darkness along the sacred pool of reflection. Remember all whom we lost.
And then there was a pause for a long moment of silence as those lights were switched on. This is the first time the reflecting pool has ever been illuminated in this fashion. And we will be hearing a lot more from Joe Biden in the hours ahead, not just about the need for healing and reconciliation and the attempts that he is promising to make to try and bring the polarized forces that exist in this country together, but also about the monumental efforts he's going to have to make now to deal with three distinct crises here. COVID-19, of course, the economic catastrophe that it has engendered, and now the very real national security crisis that the FBI says is threatened by armed supporters of President Trump, who are said still to be planning further violent actions in Washington, D.C. and states all over the country.
I guess all that remains to ask, Simon, is, will President Trump pardon the Tiger King?
Well, we thought by now, Jesse, that we would know the answer to that question, and we are still waiting for this list of reportedly 100 commutations and pardons that the president is planning to release. The New York Times, just within the last few minutes, is reporting that one of the reasons for the delay is that there is a fevered argument going on behind the scenes at the White House, not about Joe Exotic, but rather about Steve Bannon, the president's former strategic advisor and in many ways the Rasputin who delivered Donald Trump into the White House. Steve Bannon, of course, is facing fraud charges, and apparently there's a big conversation underway about whether his name should be on the list. The Tiger King is certainly sufficiently confident that his name is going to be on the list that a very large stretch limo, I don't think I've ever seen a stretch limousine quite as long as this one, is parked directly opposite the jail in Texas where he is currently serving a sentence, 22 years, for a whole variety of murder for hire charges, violating acts regarding wildlife safety, violating the Endangered Species Act. So the limousine is there. My guess is that the driver is charging by the hour. And at the moment, still no word from the White House about whether he's on the list.
Simon, thank you for your excellent coverage. Nice to talk to you today. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jesse.
Simon Marks is a Feature Stories correspondent in Washington, D.C. If you're interested in the presidential inauguration tomorrow, it will start early, 5:30 a.m. New Zealand time. It's due to start, and we'll have full coverage on Morning Report. And then again throughout the day, special midday report at noon tomorrow.